Here's a preview from this episode.
I would say my whole life is a sign. I did not plan for any of this. I don't even know how I wrote a book, right? There's so much in my life where I'm like, something happened and here I am. And I know that a lot of it was me, but there's so much of me that's like, you know, the amount of people who reached out to me or the amount of people who like have just sort of like shepherded me along this journey where I have no idea what I'm doing and everything has worked.
Beautiful soul, have you ever wanted to speak to angels? Do you believe angels can support you in your daily life? If this is you, go to my website homepage, theangelmedium.com, and sign up for my weekly angel message email. As a gift for signing up, I'm giving you access to free resources, including 31 healing meditations that, if you do daily, are going to help you hear your angels and your own intuition more clearly. Start using these today, and you'll see changes in 31 days. Now, take a deep breath. Feel the presence of your angels as they fill you with love, joy, peace, bliss, and ease. And remember, your angels say the messages that resonate with you in today's episode are meant just for you. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Angels and Awakening podcast. I'm your host and author, Julie Jancis. And friends, today we have Anna Prezzi on the show. If you're on TikTok or Instagram, you probably follow her at AK Prezzi, P-R-Z-Y. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, you have a new book where you end like all of your stuff with keep it up, cutie. And your book is called Keep It Up, Cutie. I love that.
Yes. I'm also on tour and that is also the Keep It Up, Cutie tour. So yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
We've got a lot of Keep It Up, Cutie in this household.
I love it. Well, and it's interesting because I come from the generation that's Instagram and Facebook, and now we've got TikTok, but my daughter is 12 and they've got this new app called Be Real. Have you seen this?
I have it, but like it just never hooked me in. So I gave up on it.
Yes. Well, what you do if people don't know is it pops up at a certain time each day on your phone and you have to take a picture wherever you're at. And it uses both the front camera and back camera of your, you know, phone so that you cannot not be real. You have to show, you know, the mess in your house, what you're wearing, what your face looks like at that time. And I feel like you are the be real of social media.
I was going to say, I was like, that's just like my page anyway. That's just me being myself and looking like myself and showing up as myself. I've had a freaking day and I was excited to chat, but I was like, well, just show up as you are, you know, cry eyes and all, and it's all good.
Yes. So I really thank you for the work that you're doing within this world, because I really feel like you're helping energetically take pressure off of women, men, everyone to not have to show up perfect, but just live.
Yes. Even just today, I was standing on the table in the living room because I just like needed to bring myself back into my body. And I was like, all you have to be is here. Like, this is it. Like, you're good. You're fine. You're here. It doesn't need to be more than this. Like, if this is it for today, this is it for today. Where it just like, I'm here and I'm here.
Okay, so I want to know more about your story. How did you kind of come to this? How did you even have the idea to start putting this message out into the world? Where'd this come from?
Oh, I mean, so much of it is accidental. You know, like you start posting on the internet and I mean, I have a full-time job. I had a full-time job. This was never like a thing I was doing. It was more when the pandemic started, I kind of lost everything, my identity and my job and my income. And it was this moment where I sort of froze and realized I'd never stopped before, because you go to school and then you go to college and then you get a job, and that's all I'd ever done. I had never taken a day off in the middle of the week, you know, and all of a sudden we were home every day and I had hardly anything to do. And that had never happened before. So it was the first time I was ever forced to be with me. And I kind of looked back on my life like, oh, like, who am I? What am I outside of work? And I didn't know. I had no identity. I was like, my passion is my job and I don't even know if I like it. So it was kind of this, but first there was a very depressive episode where I kind of had a major existential crisis and went through like, who am I? What do I want? Do I like myself? Kind of what happened to me? Like, I had all of my value tied up in my job and I didn't have that anymore. So it was just like, oh, we have to start over. And I didn't have a reason to get out of bed. That was kind of it. It was like, I did not have a reason to get out of bed every day. And so I was like, I'm just going to, for fun, do like TikTok trends or whatever. Almost for like a month. It was like every day I would get up, like put makeup on, dry my hair, and like try things on the internet. It was not good. I was dancing and I was doing whatever, but it really did. It got me out of bed. It got me in online, and the more I watched content, the more it kind of became, why couldn't it be me? Like, what? Why couldn't I say what's going on in my life? And so I just, a few times, and not even a ton, I just like came on and was honest, like, here's what's going on, here's what I'm going through, whatever. And you just sort of saw people like start to get a little bit interested. And I don't know if it was my vibe or that, like, I was there. And the first time I ever, like, said something really honest was on Thanksgiving of 2020, because we didn't go to Thanksgiving with our family. And I said, how do we tell them that we're never coming back to Thanksgiving? Because it's so fun at home alone where nobody makes you cry. And it went so viral. And I was like, people just want to know that other people's lives are hard too, that like other people are also going through things. And so from there, it just kind of became this, what am I going through? How do I feel in sharing about it? And obviously, like, the things that got me known was the robe and the outside and screaming. And that came about actually when I went back to work. We were back to work in 2021, and I kind of realized, oh my God, this is unsustainable. Like, I can't do this much anymore. It was like the pandemic, like, shattered the glass box that I lived in, and I couldn't like get back in it because I couldn't put the pieces back together because I just wasn't that person anymore. And so that was kind of the first thing I said in the robe was, I don't want to do things. Like, I do not want to do things because my whole life had been doing things. And I was so tired and so burnt out. And everyone just was like, oh, yeah, me too. And I was like, people just want to know. Everybody just needs to know they're not alone. And I learned a long time ago and kind of had forgotten that you're not as unique as you think you are, in the best way, in that anything you're going through, somebody else is going through. And I had sort of forgotten that. And so it was like this great reminder getting back online that, you know, even when you think you don't have anything to share, somebody needs to hear what you're going to say. And sharing is how we heal. And sharing is how other people's healing journeys start. You know, because you have to hear something. You have to hear some story or some things to click and make you realize, oh my gosh, that's me. That's what I went through. Or that's what I'm going through. Yeah. But yeah, it was just like an accident.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, and I think that you speak to so many people just by being you, of you really don't have to hold on to all of that fear, because energetically you can feel that energy within so many people where you just need to show up perfect all the time, and keep pushing, 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 pushing for that perfectionism. And I wake up most days and don't feel like putting on makeup and don't feel like doing my hair and just feel like, you know, being in my sweats. And so thank you for giving all of us permission to just show up as we are.
Yeah, I think that's been that, like, this week has been so much my vibe is like come as I am, because I have so much going on that I really like the thing that I have to let go is trying to be anybody else or be something else. Or, you know, I have to let go of that and just be like, whatever it is, I can do it as me right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going on tour and you've got the book coming out, and I'm sure you're doing a ton of press for all of it. So talking and doing a lot of interviews. What is the tour like? What are you talking about on tour?
So the tour, so in my content, I share feelings, thoughts, and ideas, but I don't really share anything personal, which is definitely my number one feedback. It's like, who are you? And I'm like, well, you have to come to the tour. And I mostly just tell my life story, and it's funny. It's like a mix of comedy, storytelling, and just kind of like a mental health reminder, just like all of the things that I say, kind of hearing where those came from, like the thing that I went through that makes me know that's true when I say it. And it's so, I never know how to advertise it because I don't want to give it away, you know? It's good. Just, I promise you'll like it.
It's good. Just show up.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
It's like really funny for the first 15 minutes. And then all of a sudden there's this like shift where everybody's like, oh no, wait, is this? And I'm like, there's this whole part where I'm like, you have to laugh because if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Because it's just reality. It is my life. And a lot of it I didn't realize was a tragedy as it was happening until I was an adult. And also when I had all this time to kind of reflect back on it, like, no wonder. I have no like curiosities about why I am so tired. When I think of every experience I've ever had and this mentality that I used to have that not even that my value was productivity, but that value was productivity. I really wasn't putting value in people or things like that. It was like, if you're doing a lot, then that is a valuable person, place, or thing. Like if it's accomplishing a lot or it's making a lot of money or it's being the way it's supposed to be, that's probably a valuable thing. It's been that deconstructing journey of like, oh, no, I'm valuable because I'm here. And that's it. Like, I don't want to hold myself or anybody else to any of this crazy standards I had for most of my life. And then also like there's a huge workaholic piece where I was this very, I just was a workaholic. There's no really other way to describe it, because to me, that meant I was valuable. And I was searching for that in so many ways. And my background is eating disorders. So it was kind of this transference. I spent the first half of my life thinking if I had the perfect appearance, then I would be valuable. And then once I learned one lesson that like, that doesn't matter, then it was like, okay, then I'm going to be the best at working. I didn't really, you know, change my life, except for that I was a little healthier in one way. But I, you know, it takes so long. I mean, it's just a long time. And unlearning everything you've ever known your whole life takes 10 times as long as learning it the first time.
Well, because it keeps coming back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's so ingrained. It's so, and I don't know, like if you were also raised in a keep it to yourself household, like, or this is the way.
There's a lot of like,
this is the way it's always been.
Yeah. A lot of sweeping under the rug.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't think I could have used maybe one healthy coping skill or like besides keep it to yourself? Like there is no mystery to me that I broke down at some point when I kept every single thing to myself for my entire life.
Did you know I give away a new free reading each month to a listener who leaves a 5-star rating of this show on Apple Podcasts or Amazon? After you leave 5 stars, go over to the Contact Me page on my website, theangelmedium.com. Fill out the Contact Me form, letting us know that you gave 5 stars. That way we can contact you when you win. The more 5 stars you leave, the more chances you have to win. And your name always stays in until you do. Don't forget to stay subscribed to our emails so that you know when you've won your free session with me. Sending you so much love and gratitude for your support on this. Thank you. Now let's dive back into the show.
I tell this story, this is in my show actually, when my cousin was getting married, and he was the first in our family to get married, and he was marrying this girl who spoke her mind. We were like talking behind her back, you know, some of the other keep it to yourself offsprings, and we were like, she is never going to fit in. Like, you can't just say what you feel. You can't.
Right?
You can't just, this is chaos. You can't just, like, if something's bothering you, she just says it's bothering. Is she crazy? And it's so funny to me now because my whole life is just like word vomit. Like, here's what's going on all the time. Everything I'm going through every minute of the day. Enjoy. Versus this attitude of like, I can't believe he's going to marry somebody who says when something's wrong. Doesn't she? And I'm not Mormon, but it's like, doesn't she want to keep sweet and like and obey?
Yeah, I totally can relate to all of this. There's so many different directions that I want to go in with this. So I came from that background too, of like, and my mom used to come into my room, like one of my earliest memories in elementary school, I can remember playing in my room and my mom comes in and she goes, are you being productive?
Oh my gosh.
I was like, what the hell does that mean? And how do I appease my mother to be productive as a third grade or second grade, you know, child? But that was the thing, and getting the gold star to appease both my parents, because my dad was very much about good grades and, you know, doing your best and giving it your all, which I realize now, you know, like I have this memory of being in fourth grade or fifth grade and going into my dad's truck after school. And he goes, I know you guys got your report cards today. Had totally left my mind. And I was like, oh yeah, it's probably my folder. So I take it out, I give it to him. I hadn't looked at it myself. And he goes, you got a C in math. He goes, I'm so disappointed. And my like heart just sunk. And I thought to myself, oh, I must be stupid because I'm trying my hardest and I'm not getting it. So I started to recognize that in my kiddo. Long story short, I'm taking her actually after this to tutoring, because we take her twice a week because she needs it. It wasn't that I was stupid back then. I just needed extra help and nobody was there to give those tools. So I was in that productivity workaholic mindset to the point where I broke down in my 30s and ended up going in for an inpatient stay in the hospital, which my podcast people know, everybody who listens to Angels and Awakening. And it was so crazy because you think, okay, well, when you go into the hospital and you do an inpatient stay for mental health, it's a whole bunch of crazy people that you're with. And it wasn't. 95% of everybody in there was like,
yeah.
So I have this productivity thing, perfectionism thing, working too much, and my boss is just a nightmare. And that's what it was. And so when my dad passed, I started hearing from him before I knew he was gone, and kind of segued over into the spiritual realm. But the podcast took off. And now we're looking at getting this TV show. And I find that even though I've done so much work on myself, I'm 205 pounds right now, the heaviest I've ever been, which is not heavy because I never go around like looking at other people being like, you know, she looks like this. I just don't judge other people like I judge myself.
Oh, yeah.
But I noticed that I've been telling myself when I lose X amount of weight, that's when I'll get accepted for this TV show.
It's so hard.
It's so hard. And I know that that's not the truth.
And none of it's true.
No. And Spirit keeps saying, no, Julie, women need to see a normal body to know that you're just normal and it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, all bodies are good bodies. Weight's not an indicator of health. I could go on all day about bodies. I mean, I was an inpatient for anorexia when I was 19. And I mean, it is really, I just wanted to say that because when you said you were an inpatient and they were just like you, and I felt the exact same way. And my parents came for parents weekend. And I remember my mom being like, you're not like these people. And I said, Mom, I am these people. I'm here.
You know?
Yeah. She's like, no, you don't need to be here. You're not like these people. You're not. And it's like, yes, I am. I am. You're these people. You don't even know. We are all these people.
We are all these people.
Yes. And just like so tough. And I was just talking actually earlier, the definition of insanity, right, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. I have changed my body to fit societal standards, I don't know, 15 times and done it successfully. It has never made me happy. And you're like, and you didn't realize after the first time, second time, 10th time, 11th time, because it's out there. Everything that we consume, everywhere you look, there is, it's not profitable for us to not want to lose weight, right? We are no longer
$1 billion industry.
Yes, we're no longer a cog in the wheel if we stop subscribing to the idea that looking different will change our lives. It simply won't. I'm the largest I've ever been, and my life is, I would say, the most impactful it's ever been, the most important it's ever been. I have bad days, but realistically, I'm the happiest I've ever been. It's like, here's what this tells me. Being skinny has never made me happy, and being fat has always made me sad. So the problem's not my body. This isn't it. It has nothing to do with this.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And I mean, that ties into everything, of course, because if you, you know, aren't exercising regularly, then you're less than. There's just so much judgment.
Well, I have been. I started working at Pilates. I started going to Pilates. I've been doing it for 3 months. Haven't almost missed a day. And I weigh more now than when I started. But I feel more better. Like, I feel better.
But that's the point.
Oh, I know.
There's this, the relationship that I have with my body is very complicated. And obviously, I have a long, sordid history with it. But if I am going to exercise, I have to really weigh why I'm doing it. And if I'm doing it for the wrong reasons, I can't do it. And that's not a punishment. It's just like, why do you want to go for a run right now? And it's like, I would like to wear my old pants. And it's like, nope. If you need to clear your head and you need to move your body or just get away from the situation you're in to regroup, like A+, go for it. And I really have to constantly weigh why I'm doing the things I'm doing, because for me it's a very slippery and a very quick slope. And you know, I've relapsed so many times in my life, and I never see it coming. It happens so fast, and it's so easy to lie to yourself. And I'm finally in this space where I can't really lie to myself. And I think that's progress.
How do you do that? And I think you hit the nail on the head too, because I just will say that the reason I've been going and really want to go to Pilates is because it stretches you out so much, and particularly your hips. And I have sat at a desk since probably, I don't know, like, when do you start sitting? Kindergarten? Yes. Most of the day. Yeah. And people before, what they would be like, well, Julie, you know, you just got to open up your hips. And I go, I have no clue what you mean by that. Open. Now I get it. when I go and work out and do Pilates, I feel so energetically good. Like it's moving throughout the meridian systems. The energy within my body is just flowing. And then I go and I sit for a couple hours after it and my back just starts to hurt or my hips are start to hurt. I'm like, okay, well, I just did something in the morning that helped. And then sitting all day just brought me back into this place of tightness again. So it really is helping for that intention.
It's so good for your brain unless you're doing it for the wrong reason. It really, yeah. It's so tough because movement is so good for depression and movement, but it's also like the slipperiest slope.
For sure. For sure. So how did you make that switch?
That's the thing. And that's kind of where I'm at right now is where like I have a very hard time getting it right. And so for me, I am not intentionally exercising. I will walk somewhere like to make a, like instead of drive or like I will do little things that to me, just feel like things you can do in your life. But right at this moment, I am not intentionally exercising because I am not mentally healthy enough to like make a training plan and and not spiral out of control. For me, the avoiding it, that's just how I'm right now. I'm doing like a little bit. I go to a stretch class. I'm like, this is good.
That's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, because you hold a lot of trauma too in your hips. Like you were talking about your hips. That's where we store trauma. And so it's really good to stretch your hips because that's where you keep all your nasty memories.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Our body stores it. It's like hips, back, and back. Hips and back is like where it all is. And there's I try to do somatic exercises, which are for healing trauma, but it reminds me a lot of yoga, like laying on the ground and just sort of rolling and stretching. Yeah. I also have a real all or nothing mentality where I really...
Is it the ADHD? Are you ADHD?
Oh, yeah, it is. And it's very hard for me to do something like once and lightly. It's like, I'm going to go to a yoga class, but first I'm going to buy everything you need for a yoga class. And then I'm going to get the full new outfit and I'm going to sign up for 40 classes in 30 days and see if I can do them all. And then it's like, Anna, you just went from 0 to 50,000. And now I know that this is like, oh, you're doing it again. Because I remember before we got married, I was like, I want to see how quickly I can do 100 Pure Barre classes. I did it in like 106 days. I was like, not good. But that's how I was my whole life. And so now I'm kind of on this journey to figure out how to do things like a normal person. A normal person that doesn't exist, but
actually that's one of the things that I get so much from your content is I wrote this down. I've always thought to myself, well, the way other people are doing it is right. The way that I'm doing life is wrong, or the way that other people think about things or just everything that they do is right. And what I do is wrong. And always kind of looking outside of myself to see how I should be doing other things. But then as I've started to run a business, you know, you talk to people and they say, go do this. And Spirit's like, no, that's not the right direction. Go this way. And the more and more I listen to my own inner wisdom, the more I listen to Spirit, the more it goes according to the way that it's supposed to. But that was a learning curve of my entire life was just thinking everybody else was right and I was wrong.
And my philosophy is nobody knows what they're doing.
Yes.
Everybody's faking it.
Exactly.
And everybody's exhausted. So just do what works for you. I don't necessarily know what works, but you know what doesn't work. If you try something and it doesn't work, you don't continue to try to do it that way. I say that about being happy too. I say, I don't necessarily know what makes me happy, but if I try something, I definitely know if it doesn't make me happy.
Yeah.
So it's like process of eliminate your life is kind of what I'm doing now. It's like, what doesn't serve me anymore in this space? You know, there's so much of my life where it was that I was scared. It wasn't even that I didn't know what I wanted to do. It was that I was scared to do what I wanted to do because it didn't feel like what I was supposed to do. And it's really taking fear. And this was a couple of years ago. Fear and excitement are almost the exact same feeling. We just perceive them differently. But like body-wise, energy-wise, effort-wise, fear and excitement are the same. So it was like a day when I just realized, like, when I learned that I really could do anything, right? When it dawned on me that I could actually do anything I wanted, that was terrifying because that's way too many options. Like, narrow it down to five. Like, the thought of the world and how big it is and how many choices I have is like, ah. And it was like my birthday and I was sitting there and I go, oh my God, I'm so excited that I can do anything I want. And it's just, for me, everything's repetition. The more I tell myself something like, you can just be excited instead of scared. You can be excited instead of scared. Because a lot of those fears are just deeply ingrained things from, this is how you should live your life. This is what you should do. You should just go get a degree, get a job, and work till you die. And it's like, I don't know. The formula, you know, it's not a good one.
It's not a good one.
For me. And it's that same thing. That definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I just kept climbing. I checkboxed my way through life how I was supposed to. I hit all the milestones, you know. I get the house and the car and the husband and the job. And then I buy the company and I become the owner. And I looked around and I was like, well, I'm still miserable. Like, I thought at the end of this checklist, that's when the happy comes. And it's like, the happy doesn't live at the end of the checklist. You have to find it. It's like, that's not the way to do it. And I don't feel like I'm an expert at anything, but I can just share my experience and say, I'm just going to tell you, if you think that you're going to finish that checklist and then you're going to be happy, it's the same mentality of, I am going to fix my body and then I'm going to be happy. I am going to do this and then I'm going to be happy. We all have a finish line complex. We all think the glory is at the finish line. And it's like, okay, we all die. No offense.
You're speaking my language. I just wrote about this in my second book.
No offense, but we literally all end up in the same place. So do you want to be a cog in a wheel that makes you miserable? Because that's what you think you're supposed to do. Or do you want to try something else and start process of eliminating your life and saying, these things really make me miserable? And I know people will say like, well, I don't like doing the dishes. That makes me miserable. It's like, that's not what I'm talking about.
We have to keep some rational house clean. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I get it. I don't want to work to make money. But no, I used to get invited to something and I would tell my husband, like, I am dreading going, right? And like, I really don't want to go to this. It's going to be miserable. Like, I'm going to leave it feeling worse. And he's like, why would you go to something you don't want to go to? It was like this light bulb moment, like, oh, I don't know, obligation? Like, so if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. If it's not a, I want to do that so bad, that's going to be so fun, or I'm excited to try that, then it's a no. Like, no, I don't think that thing is going to be for me.
Yeah, 100%. Do you believe in angels?
Yes. And I am, I've walked away like from organized religion in the last 5 years. But one, for me, there has to be a higher power because there just does. And to me, that makes everything less scary. And then two, I've gotten like a little bit more into myself, my energies and chakras and the way that energy moves through the body. And I had my first ever like energy healing session in October. And she goes, do you have guardian angels? And I go, I don't know. I don't think so. And she goes, do you ever say something or do something and you're surprised that just came out of your mouth? Or like, and I said, yeah, like all the time. I will say something and I'm like, that's the smartest thing I've ever said. And I don't know where it came from. And she's like, you have so many people in this room with you right now. Like, this was an energy healer. And she's like, She's like, I don't know who they are. She's like, but your team is huge. And I was like, whoa, really? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I need to open a window. And I was like, oh, that is so cool. You know, she's like, there was way too much energy in this room for like the two of us to like, she's like, I'm suffocating. And she's like, yeah, you have like a lot. And I was like, I can't imagine who they are, but that's awesome.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, we also like to tell angel stories on the podcast, and those could be anything where you just know, like, you know, like, you know, that you are supported divinely or helped by the other side or led in some way, seeing signs.
I would say my whole life is a sign. I did not plan for any of this. I did not like, I don't even know how I wrote a book, right?
Yeah.
There's so much in my life where I'm like, something happened and here I am. And I know that a lot of it was me, but there's so much of me that's like, you know, the amount of people who reached out to me or the amount of people who like have just sort of like shepherded me along this journey where I have no idea what I'm doing and everything has worked.
Intuition.
Yeah. And I believe really heavily into speaking things into existence. So for me, it's like, if you don't say it out loud, then the world doesn't know you want it.
It's called manifestation. Look it up.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that could be anything. People comment all the time, like, I love how you like talk to God. And I'm like, well, I'm not really, I'm just sort of talking, but I don't know anything, right?
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. I used to beat myself up too, because I would always feel like, how do some women have the energy to get up every single day? And I'm not shaming them. I want to be them always, of getting up and just their hair is done and their makeup is done and they always look put together. And when I was in these different entrepreneur groups, there would be so many people talking about like the 5 a.m. morning and all these things that you should do before 5 a.m. And, you know, you get up and you do this, 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 and this. And I'm like, I'm just trying to groggily make my daughter's lunch and get her off to school. And then I saw spiritual teacher Neil Donald Walsh, and I read some articles before I had him on the podcast, and he goes, I don't have a morning routine. And in this article, he goes, I just like let spirit take me where I need to go every single day, and every day is different. I'm like, holla frickin' Luyah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that lifts so much energy off.
The pressure. The pressure is crushing. And I was a 5 a.m. gym girly, like all of the above, for most of my life, which no wonder I'm so tired now. But I also have, it's another one of those things where it's like, I have the experience. I can tell you all about it. It didn't fix my life. It just didn't. But the pressure definitely ruined my life. The pressure to keep up with myself and the pressure to keep up all of that training and all of that morning and all of that like being so good at everything. And that wasn't easy. Like, I had undiagnosed ADHD till I was 33, and I'm working 10 times as hard as everybody else to look like I'm keeping up at a average pace.
Well, I think you just hit the nail on the head. I don't even know if you know what you just said, but the pressure to keep up with myself. That's what it is. We create so much for ourselves, and the pressure.
That was them. That was the
your guardian angels. And I believe that you could have more than one guardian angel. You've got three around you.
Yeah. They're just like, yeah, they're the ones, anything that comes out of my mouth that sounds really good, like, I don't know where it came from. They're like, everybody loves Anna, and she doesn't even know. She's just a vessel. This is a vessel for this good message that everybody needs to slow down and stop trying to fit in. That's it.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head too. It's just the pressure to keep up with ourselves and all of these thoughts that we have within our own head. That I had another gentleman on recently who's talked about languishing, how most people are in this state of like not happiness, not depression. We're just kind of here. And it's the pressure that I think everybody's feeling. Because I don't know that our parents' generation felt this.
There's a lot of pressure. This is going to sound wrong, but there's kind of a lot of pressure to not be too happy.
To not be too happy?
There really is, because when somebody shows up and they're really excited and they're really happy, don't you feel like there's a common groan in the room of like, oh, of course she has energy and she's like so funky. I don't know. It's just like, there's pressure. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter who you are. There's pressure from yourself. There's pressure from these ingrained social, societal things that you don't even know how you got them. They just appeared in your brain at some point in 1992. And now, now you have anxiety.
Now you have anxiety. Yes.
It's like you can't be too mopey and you can't be too happy. And you can't like just exist. And you can't. And it's like the Barbie speech. It's like, no, it really is too much. It's so much noise. It's so loud.
Well, when you read all of the spiritual books, everything is just release, come back to yourself, just be, just live, just allow your intuition, you know, because all of them from the other side are angels, guides, and loved ones are guiding us through that intuitive radio station channel within our own inner wisdom. Just let it guide you.
Well, especially if they already lived their entire lives, right? They're like, by the way, I died and nobody in heaven has asked me if that 10-year span where I was the heaviest I'd ever been was the worst time I'd ever had. It's so strange, but that never came up.
No. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I think that's a good way to think about it. It's like, okay, when you get somewhere after you die, do you want to talk about how many hours you spent trying to fit into pants? Or like, do you want to finally relax?
Yes.
I don't know. It's just so hard. The world is noisy.
It's noisy.
And it's really hard to get it quiet enough to think about what you want. I think that's the hardest thing in the world. Knowing who you are and knowing what you actually want.
Yeah, for sure. Because what I tell people all the time is when you know what you want, it's like you're looking at a globe or a map and you have this direction. But without that direction, kind of floundering. As soon as you have that point of direction where you know what you want, you're going after it. And everything mechanic-wise within the universe is supporting you to get to that point. So when you look back, Anna, at everything you've learned over the last couple of years, what do you think people most don't realize that if you could just open their brains, insert some information, you'd help tweak it and they go on their path?
This would be like specifically, and I assume there's somebody who felt exactly the way I felt for most of my life. And it's, you aren't stuck. I felt so many times like I am stuck here. I am stuck in this. I have to stay in this because I'm stuck in this. And why? Nothing was holding me there. Nothing was holding me in jobs. I was miserable. Nothing was holding me in relationships. I was miserable. But they checked boxes and they just like fell into this should category. And I hate when people ask me what I would tell my younger self, but I really, I'm like, I would really want to hit her. And that is not nice. But I think it's just that nothing is set in stone. No matter how much life feels like it's set in stone and your past feels like it's set in stone and the journey feels like it's set in stone, it's like, it isn't. Like, we dig up dinosaurs. They were set in stone and now they're in a museum. Okay. So like it's not real. We can't set anything in stone. Diamonds can crush diamonds. There's nothing. Like, there's nothing that's set in stone.
No, there's no decision that you can make that you can't undo and go a different direction.
And you can change your mind as many times as you want. And that's not like making you less than. That's not making you a less successful person. You know, there's this, I'm finally seeing where we're celebrating people walking away from toxic jobs. And previously in my life, that's how it's always been. Work is miserable. That's how it's supposed to be. It's like, this doesn't have to, no. No, I don't accept that. I don't accept that work has to be miserable. And I don't accept that life is just that hard. And I don't accept that that's the way it's always been. So that's the way it's going to be. Why? If that's the way it's always been and that's miserable, why aren't you working to make, to change that? Like, have you ever considered? My mom does it all the time. Like, you know, all jobs are miserable. Mom, what? Did you truly spend your entire life working and being miserable? What would you do that? Because that's what you thought you were supposed to do. Nothing is set in stone.
Well, and you really are. You're constantly battling against everybody, whether you go in one direction or another. When I ended up in the hospital for that mental stay in 2015, 2016, you know, I remember calling because I would have to call this group of people every time I made a decision. I'd call like 7 people on a list. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? And wanted to leave my job and start my own business. And everybody's like, I don't think you should. Like, you've worked yourself up real young to the top of your game, to the top of your career, your industry. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't rock that boat. Best freaking decision ever.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I don't know why, probably angels, why I said yes when somebody asked me to do a live show. It's never been on my radar. It is not something I've never considered, talking in front of a room of people ever. And then I got asked to do a keynote speech and I said yes. Don't know why, but I did. And I did it and it went good. And then somebody said, do you want to go on tour? And I said, yes. I did my first show in New York and I was terrified, sweating, shaking the entire time, visibly and noticeably, right? Everybody could tell how nervous I was and like told me like, it's okay, you did it. And even though you were so nervous, like you did great. And after, they were like, do you want to do another show or are you good? Like, this was a good experience. And I was like, no, I want to do it a bunch more times. And they kind of looked at me like, you do? My hair dyed sweat down my back and like dyed my shirt red. Like, I could not be. And it's actually the perfect visual for me because I spent my whole life not wanting people to see me sweat, right? Like, my life is easy and I don't even try hard, but like secretly I was trying so hard. And
all of us are.
Yes. And so that's just like my whole life I spent trying not to let anybody see me sweat. And now, like, for a job, I go on a stage and I'm physically dripping. Still, doesn't matter how many times I do it. I'm just one of those people who has stage fright. And it's just like, that's actually in my show too, where I'm like, I spent my whole life trying to not let them see me sweat. And now I'm literally standing in front of you. Like, I can slick my sweat at you from stage.
I can't stop. I've never laughed so much
in the podcast. Good. See? Come to my show, everybody. It's a good show.
It's a good show. If you ever want a spiritual opening act, Anna, let me know.
You're like, this is the world as we know it. I know nothing. That's the whole show. That's, you leave after an hour and you're like, wow, I learned nothing.
But can I tell you, you're doing something energetically for people and you have no idea. You just like demolish people's stress and their anxiety. And that's what so much of energy healing and spiritual work is creating this just energetic opening within people for them to feel their own energy again. Because a lot of times people can't come back to what it is that they want. They're too clouded by all of this junk in their energy field, their vibration. So what you do, I mean, through your work, your comedy, I mean, you just open up this hole for people to come right back into their own energy and hear their own intuition again and get in touch with their soul self. And I just think it's so beautiful. So thank you for being you and just thank you for everything that you do in the world.
Thank you. Yeah, I always say the whole reason I'm doing this is because I never want somebody to feel the way I've felt. And unfortunately, I know that they have. And say, like, here's what I'm doing. I don't know if this is right or wrong, but here's what I'm up to. And I just, I never want people to have to hard win these lessons. I don't want somebody to go through years of being in the wrong spaces or being in spaces that don't serve you. So if I can help anybody, that feels pretty good.
Oh, you have. Share with everybody where they can get Keep It Up Cutie, your book, which has the best stickers that my daughter already stole in the back.
Yeah.
Where can they find that? Where they can find you and your tour?
My book is pretty much anywhere. If you want to like shop local, just order it from them online. Like most local bookstores, you can order it through them online and they'll just get it from Rizzoli, who's my publisher. But it's on Amazon. It's everywhere. Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, all the booky places. And then if you want to come to my tour, all of that, if you follow me on Instagram at AKPRZY, all those links are like in my story highlights. But also AKPRZY.com has a tour page and all of the links are there. And my at is at AKPRZY everywhere. So
amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Thank you for laughing at me. That really made me feel good.
Laughing with you. Laughing with you, friend. Beautiful soul. Thank you so much for joining me today. My name's Julie. You know, I'm all about connecting you with messages from your angels and loved ones on the other side. If you've been listening today and you're super excited and just have to know which angels are around you right now, who's connecting with you, and what messages they have for you, go to theangelmedium.com. Register for a session. You can do a reading with me or a member of my team. We're all incredible. We all talk to angels daily, and we can help you in making sure that your angels are doing the very best they can to support you and guide you to your best life. If this sounds like you, virtual sessions, they're only offered on my website. Sign up today. And if you're the person who's really excited, you're ready to go all in developing all of your unique spiritual gifts, growing your intuition, starting your own healing business, you can sign up for my Angel Reiki School to become a certified angel messenger. That's for the healers among us who feel called to grow their intuition to the max and serve humanity with their gifts. You'll learn Reiki, mediumship, how to deliver angel messages, and how to get clients. That's the Angel Reiki School at theangelmedium.com or DM me on Instagram at Angel Podcast with any questions. Before you go, connect with your angels by placing your hands on your heart. Take a deep breath. Imagine a doorway filled with God's unconditional love is right in front of you. Step into that love and feel it as it fills your body, chakras, and auric field. Now ask your angels, what would you have me know today? And open yourself to the positive, loving messages they have just for you.